I love playing. Like, I love being on stage. And so, like, night to night, things change because I obviously I play with a band. So it's playing with a band leaves it open to like to change. Yeah, to change every single night, and nothing will ever sounds the same night to night. That keeps me fresh. And if I wasn't playing with a band, which I always have conversations with people about the potential about touring without a band and what that looks like. And I was just having a conversation with Little Sims about that actually, like recently, like maybe 2 weeks ago. And like, because she just stopped playing with a band. And yeah, obviously she does a slightly different thing to me, but we're just talking about that. And she was kind of probing me on trying to like not necessarily feel like I need it. And I was trying to explain to her that I do feel like I need it, but it's also just like a want thing too. You know what I'm saying? But she had a point in terms of like, it's you. It's the band too, of course. I think she was more just trying to drum into me. She wasn't like trying to like minimize my band. I think what she was trying to do is just like drill into me the idea that like,
you're the nucleus.
yeah, and that like I should be able to have the presence to do it. And if I was able to do that, what that feels like and what that would look like would be really powerful. And then we were just also talking about the cost.
Why don't we start there?
If you could spend a moment with some remarkable people and discover what their life sounds like, what would you ask? Welcome to Are We On Air? An audio encounter. I'm Armand Afey, and each episode will feature one conversation with an inspiring friend of mine who will share with us the soundtrack to their life.
Hello, beautiful people, and welcome back to another wonderful and sunny episode here at Are We On Air. I'm calling in fresh off our insane block party at the Louvre in Paris last week. And in case you missed it, you can review it on our IG. And we shall announce more cities very soon. Now, this week, we have another wonderful guest on the show. The upcoming superstar coming out of London, that is Bakar. Bakar and I met a good couple of weeks ago back in London and recorded the interview at our friends at Idea Books, which is probably the coolest shop slash office slash studio slash library ever. We bonded right away over the fact that Virgil Abloh, who was quite close to Bakar, would spend hours at Idea. And what a perfect venue for us to chat about music and culture at large. We covered everything from his latest record, Halo, to his rock and roll slash hip hop slash Muslim influences, and of course, what it was like working with V. Bakar is a very profound and talented artist that I'm now happy to call a friend. On a side note, I mentioned Nuria, who will be on the show very soon as well, and her party Middle of Nowhere, which is in London and not in LA. Apologies for that. You can watch the full interview on our brand spanking new YouTube channel at Are We On Air. Now, let's get to it. Peace. Welcome to Are We On Air, Bakar.
Thank you very much for having me, honestly.
Pleasure.
I feel grateful to be here. I've seen and I heard that you've had some really cool names on here. So
yeah.
It feels nice to add to the list. And I also just like don't talk that much. So it's nice to like talk. Yeah.
So speak up, my friend, speak up.
Yeah, exactly.
So I had another venue in mind for us to record. It fell through last minute. And then I had to call my friends here at Idea Books, which a shout out to Idea Books. Thanks for having us. A lovely host. I mean, the guys for references of books and vintage books. And when I just heard from Angela that this was also Virgil's favorite room, he would come for architectural books here. And of course, your connection with Virgil, I thought, you know what? Meant to be.
No, I love that. I love the thought. I love the thought. That's great. It's also nice to see like new stuff like within the city. I've been here in the city for so long that I just feel like I don't see like new that much. Yeah, like new rooms or new spaces that often. So that's refreshing.
Yeah, I only discovered it, I would say maybe 6-12 months ago through another friend of the show and a friend of mine as well, Nadjeli Cohen, who had her books released on Idea. So she connected me with David. And of course, we all fell in love with each other and speak our languages. But another language that we speak is the sound and the music of our lives.
Yes, yes.
So then why don't we start there? And also with your, what was your earliest significant musical memory that shaped you as an artist?
My earliest significant memory as an artist, I mean, it probably just shaped me, it probably just shaped me as a human, but just like of sound, probably like the Quran and just like hearing the Quran, just like play loud in my house and stuff like that.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, arrahmanirrahim, maliki yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'inu, ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
And like I used to go to Arabic school when I was a kid. So see, that's not music or anything, like, but just like sound and, you know, and because my mom's from Yemen and grew up in Tanzania. So we would always go back to Tanzania quite a lot. I'd say there was like a genre called bongo flavor back home. And so, like, I would hear a lot of that. My mom was young when she had me. She had just come to England and was, like, super influenced by Western culture as well. So that was on one side. But on the other side, she was just, like, a super R&B lady and was into, like, Aaliyah and all of these other stuff that I've mentioned in the past before. But, like, yeah, stuff like Toni Braxton and Whitney Houston and 702 and just SWV and just loads of, like, strong black women.
Yeah.
That my mom would listen to. I don't think on purpose, that's just what she was listening to. So just like lots of R&B.
Boy, I've been watching you like the hawk in the sky. If I were you on my prey, boy, I promise you, if we keep open heads and know that one of these days we gon' hook it up while they talk on the phone. But see, I don't know if that's good.
As well, I remember like going to primary school, my mum would be playing like Choice FM, just like a radio station out here. It was like kind of like in inverted commas, the urban station here. But I feel like at that time it was like more R&B led. There was like a host called Jenny Francis who had like the most amazing speaking voice. So yeah, those are like my early like childhood memories of music. And then of course I had older cousins, so they were into like garage and grime and... But that was like a little bit later. That's like early teen stuff. You know, being like 6, 7, 8 years old, it was the stuff that I just mentioned.
You just subconsciously, like a sponge, took in. Yeah.
Yeah. That you just like, it just seeps into you.
Yeah. You don't think about it. It's just there. It's part of the fabric.
Exactly.
Talking about Yemen and Tanzania, how much of that heritage, I'm Persian, but born in Germany, so I get exactly that. How much of that heritage, besides family-wise, besides cultural, but sonically in your sound today, how much does it influence, or has that influence directly? Was there a direct influence?
I don't know if it was direct. It was probably indirect or subconscious.
Yeah.
I still don't know, if I'm honest. Like, I couldn't put a finger in it, but I know it's there.
Yeah.
I definitely know it's there, and I know that like it runs through me, you know, certain melodies and just even how like the Sheikh will pronounce certain things, you know, that just probably has an influence, just like how I approach a microphone, you know what I mean? So yeah, I couldn't tell you exactly, but I would definitely confirm that it does influence me indirectly. And just like things that I notice in other people's music, you know, that they might not even know where that came from, but I'm like, oh, that's very Arabic, you know what I mean? Or that cadence is very this. And so yeah, it's more like that. And And but like on my last record, Nobody's Home, there was like little hints of it, mm-hmm. you know, like where we would like, I think more than ever, but yeah, it's there for sure.
Listen, I'm all for it. Like, let's push our region, right, you know, right. And how it influenced. Actually, another guest on the show I'm going to have this season is this fantastic DJ and radio host, Nuria. I don't know if you discovered her, but she has a party in LA called Middle of Nowhere, which is exactly taking all these influences from all that whole region and put it into the London map. And because we're all around, we're here, there's also a generation that was born here.
Exactly.
But it's our influence and how you can adapt that to our zeitgeist
exactly. And like it's a beautiful thing, and I have a friend called Mustafa the poet and artist, and
try to get him on the show. Mustafa Davai.
I'm sure he'll do it. We always talk about that, you know, like how that, you know, Islam and music is a bit of a stigma, so not doing it directly because we don't want to be disrespectful, but still trying to like have our identity printed on what we do. Yeah, for sure.
A bottle of lean, a gun in your jeans, and a little faith in me. A plane in the sky, the only starlight on this never-ending street. The cameras in cops, we could have been stars on our mother's new screens. On our mother's new screens. All of these traps, and all of these street signs, none of them will be. But I'll be your empire. Just stay alive, stay alive, stay alive.
I've been trying to keep my cool, man, before I lose it.
I know it's very difficult, and most guests struggle with it. Because, of course, our sound and our life changes nonstop. But how would you describe yourself in 3 songs?
Oh my God. How I describe
Who
myself?
Who are you?
As a human being.
As a human being, or even your sound. Or maybe it's 3 tracks or artists or moments that you're like, you know, that's...
It's all going to be like recency stuff. Like just off the top of my head, I'd say Electric Feel by MGMT.
I wonder, I mean, this is 2007,
2008. Yeah.
I must have been your age now.
Yeah.
So how did you discover it back then? It just because it was on,
you know,
the radio?
There's so much stuff that I discovered after the fact, uh-huh. but it was like brand new to me, and I thought it'd like happen then and then, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
like, I'm not sure if that happened with MGMT, but funny thing is, like, I'm not sure if it was Electric Feel or I think the album's called Kids or something like that, but it was on like a game or something I was playing. It might have been on FIFA or something like that. And
okay.
so like, I've got into so many songs from video games, like, and just
That's
games.
A whole market out there.
Yeah, I'd say like a lot of like my eclectic taste came from like games and like, yeah, honestly, early on, like for sure. And then it would get revisited later on, if that made, like, do you know what I mean? In my later, and then I'd be like, oh, okay. And I'd make like some connection. And yeah, I'm not exactly sure how MGT came up. I'm pretty sure it was a gaming experience that put me on. And then I remember like years later, yeah, like hearing it, and then just always been into MGMT ever since. So yeah.
Because that album, which was of course the breakthrough,
yeah.
was meant to be as a some sort of parody because they're more like an alternative band, actually a bit more experimental.
And they grew to be that, no, like later on.
Well, that's, of course, after such a massive hit,
yeah.
Of course, the record label and the audience were like waiting for Ready Number Two, and they're already there. They were going
mentally
for more what they actually meant, what they actually wanted to produce.
Yeah, because
they
were
in... kind of also the end of I mean, I guess they're still around, but... They didn't never had that success. Artistically, maybe they were more fulfilled. That's
well, because it's seeming like, I think I saw a thing where, like they made a lot of that stuff when they were in uni or something like that. So you can hear the youthness in it and you can hear like the funness in it. I like the fun. I'm finishing a record right now.
Tell
and
me.
Like, whenever like someone describes it as fun, like it's like my favorite thing. I get so happy.
Yeah.
Someone said to me, oh my God, this is such a fun, this sounds like such a fun record. And I was like beaming for the rest of the week.
That's a great way.
Yeah.
That's a great way to describe an energy.
It's a great word. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like fun, but yeah, I made a very serious record before on purpose, intentionally. And intentionally tried to do the opposite on this.
Which track should we play?
From this.
From the seriousness.
Oh,
to
from the... Actually, serious is the wrong word.
Okay.
Serious is like a byproduct of what I'm talking about. So it's like, I'm talking about identity. I'm talking about where I am, who I come from, what that means being, what that means to be like, what I am and where I come from, an immigrant in England, you know, and almost like exploring this idea of being like a futuristic alien. Like I had this whole thing of like, what would the immigrants from the future look like, you know? And then, and I dwelled on that for ages and I was thinking about that for time and then come to the realization that, oh, like, we are the futuristic immigrant. Like, I am the futuristic immigrant. Literally, I am the futuristic immigrant. You know, like my mom probably come to the country like a year or two before I was born. You know what I'm saying? So I so easily could have been born back home. But I was born here and like, this is what it looks like. You're looking at him like, you know what I mean? In Balenciaga, like with NyQuil teasers on, you know, a new Land Rover Defender parked outside. Like that's what the futuristic immigrant
looks
like.
I love you driving in London.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like for sure. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, not even on some flexy shit, like, it's just a realization of just like, oh my God, like, me and my friends that are also have like similar backgrounds and even the other ones that aren't like that my friends are, but this is what it is, like, we are the immigrants from the future and like, yeah, just to be proud of that, you know? Yeah, it was just a cool realization to be like, oh my God, it's me. Like the person.
You are.
Yeah. It. Yeah, so that's cool. And so I was just trying to describe that in the, in the best way. And like, I think people find those topics serious. Yeah. To me, I think, I actually thought we were having fun with it at the start, but yeah, it was cool. And I think people received it as that. And it was a really important record for me to make. Yeah. But back to the free song.
Second track.
My second track. You know what? I'm going to say Godspeed by Frank Ocean. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just like adore that song, man. It just sounds like a Stevie Wonder song, but like, that's basically a Stevie song to me.
Maybe the modern Stevie.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say that?
Exactly. No, I think we are allowed to say that. So I'll say Godspeed just because every single word on that song like means something.
I will always love you how I do. Let go of a prayer for you. Just a sweet word. The table is prepared for you. Ooh. Wishing you Godspeed, glory. There will be mountains you won't move.
And I've got to go Baby Be Mine by Michael Jackson. It was between You Rock My World and Baby Be Mine. But it's going to be Baby Be Mine because, yeah. I don't like, Like, it's just so bright and so, like, fun. Like I just said, it's just the mood I'm in right now, I think, is that song, honestly.
I don't need no dreams when I'm by you. Magic.
post finishing this next record right now, I feel like a fizzy bottle. Like, I feel like
a fizzy bottle. I love that.
Of like Coca-Cola, and someone's just like shaking it, and it's just ready to like go crazy. That's where I'm at right now.
I'm so intrigued. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah,
it's fun because I mean, obviously we're going to the third track, but at least from your past records, growing up in London in the early 2000s, where indie was, of course, huge, right? And finding out for the first time, and I'm sure you heard that before, the first time I heard your music and your sound, immediately thought of Bloc Party. I mean, you guys have such similarities. It's insane. In a very positive way, nothing like,
I always openly say, like, especially early on, I think I've grown out of it a bit more now. But I think early on, I was literally trying to mimic what Kelly was doing. I have no shame in doing it, like, saying that. I think the effect that Bloc Party had on me as a band, visually because the front man was black, and also just sonically, probably more important sonically than it was visually. Although I had identified with Kelly being black, I didn't really identify with his type of black. And that's no shade on Kelly at all. He's wicked, like, he's amazing, and he gave me a lot.
So you met and...
No, I've never met.
What?
Ever. No, I've never met, spoken to him at all. I'm sure loads of people have probably sent him, like, my stuff and been like, this guy sounds like you. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so he's probably sick of it. But yes, and then, like, more importantly, sonically, man, like, I just was, like, blown away. And so I think early on, like, I was honestly, like, so... it was actually, like, years between, like, me making music and me being, like, obsessed with Bloc Party. It was, like actually, like, quite a big gap. But... naturally, like, when I decided to make music, I think that's like what started coming out. And so yeah, heard that a lot early on, and I wasn't even on some like shying away from it. It was like, I was like, I did what I was trying to do then, kind of thing, because I knew by like proxy, like, what I was doing would end up being different at some point.
Great. No, I'm all for it.
Big Bloc Party fan.
Favorite Bloc Party track?
I would say it probably changes, but it's probably going to be something off Silent Alone. And it's probably gonna be like Eating Glass, just because. And I know it starts the album off, and it's just like the urgency of that song is like something I'm always gonna find. I like Blue Light, and I remember like seeing them live and seeing stuff like Mercury live. I remember like hating that song Mercury, like, when I heard it, and then seeing it live and being like, oh,
I think for the 20th anniversary, they did a whole Silent Alarm.
Yeah, I think I saw something about that. Yeah. I think I saw something. Yeah, it's crazy. but even like with the Bloc Party stuff, it's like when I found out about Bloc Party, I swear to God, I thought it had just come out. And like, because when I found out about Bloc Party, they had put an EP, and I can't remember what it was called, but it had a song called, the chorus goes, "Let's go to Brighton on the weekend." Oh, it's called Waiting for the 718, that song. And like, that EP is like the EP that like me and my friends, because I found out about them when I got sent to boarding school.
Waiting for the 718, January is endless, weary-eyed and forlorn. The northern line is the loudest. Sitting in silence in bars after work, I've got nothing to add or contest. Can I still kick a ball 100 yards? Let me cling to bottles and memories of the past. Just give me a minute.
And I was around all of like these like other type of kids that were listening to bands. And so like they kind of put me onto it. And then it was like going back and listening, because I remember at the exact same time, it was like Red Hot Chili Peppers were my gateway drug for like just band music in general. When I was 13/14, like year 9, I got sent to boarding school.
For good behavior or bad behavior?
Just for like, you know what? I think it was just more like where I was going. Yeah, yeah. Like, it was just more where I was going.
Of course.
Yeah, my mum probably could just predict how I was going. So I got sent to Surrey, and then they were all listening to bands and stuff. So, and then like I remember like my dorm mate who I became really close with, his older brother, actually my dorm mate like really like formed like a lot of my musical taste, even on a hip hop level, because like up until then, even on a hip hop level, like I was more like Dipset, Lil Wayne.
Fuck with your boy. Yeah. It's Santana. Once again. Hey, man. Let me see you do this. Killer. Chip. Freaking.
It make a pussy wet. I leave that bitch with a puddle. When my beats are my dog, I should rap with a muzzle. Take man and flow. I just go, no huddle. Baby girl, getting straight dick, no cuddle. You know I'm out this world, I just bought a space shuttle. I'ma put some D's on that bitch.
And then heavy grime, like grime. Yeah. Like all I listened to grime, and like any American hip hop that I did listen to was like, yeah, Lil Wayne, Dipset, like just more like of a street aesthetic. And then when I went to boarding school, I think like that's when like College Dropout around those times to come out.
Drug dealer by Jordan, crack kid by crack, and a white man get paid off for all of that. But I ain't even gonna act totally other than that, cause fuck it. I went to Jacob with 25 now before I had a house, and I do it again, cause I wanna be on 106 and Park wishing the bands. I wanna act for all of it like it's all terrific. I got a couple past due bills, I won't get specific. I got a problem with spending before I get it.
Literally like coinciding with that, it was like my dorm mate had this CD and that his older brother had burnt, and it was like had like 20 songs, no names, and it had the whole of the Quasimodo Unseen album by Madlib, and like the whole album was on there, and then it was like probably like 4 or 5 extra tracks on there, and some of those extra tracks were, so I remember like 93 to Infinity was on there by Jurassic 5. And there was like a couple like random Red Hot Chili Peppers songs on there.
Oh, it wasn't Jurassic 5. It was
Souls of Mischief.
Souls of Mischief.
Souls of Mischief, but there was a Jurassic 5 song on it. What song is that?
I know exactly. It was the number one track on
it. It was like a really cheesy,
good rhythm. Yeah. Melody, yeah.
So whatever that Jurassic 5 song was, 93 was really by Souls of Mischief. And there was like some random Chili Pepper songs on there, like By The Way or something like that. And then like I was just like, what is that? And then like we just started listening to Zephyr. Is it By The Way? Maybe the album's called By The Way, I'm not sure. But I remember just listening to him and be like, oh, this guy's rapping. And it just made loads of sense to me, you know, and just like bridging that gap in my brain. And then that was just like a gateway of like, okay, I want more of this. And then like, okay, what's the British version of this? And then it was like, oh my God, there's a whole world of it. And it's like, and I think Arctic Monkeys, and then it was like, maybe Arctic Monkeys had put out their first album like a couple years before that. So then we're listening to that and being like, blown away and hearing Riot Van on there and being like, oh my God. And then listen to the Kooks, because, you know, I've always had like a thing for like poppy things.
Yeah.
So like Inside Out, that album by the Kooks, was like really important to me at that time, because I was just like delving in albums after. I was like reading a book. Week on week, I'd just have a new album that I'd be obsessed with, just discovering. And then it was like discovering like UK ones, like the Claxons, and you know, there was other kids in and around in my year that were like listening to more stuff that I couldn't get into, like Hadouken, like bands like Hadouken that I couldn't get into, but I understood it and I respected it, but it wasn't for me. And then like finding out about Bombay Bicycle Club, and then that suited me a lot more, you know. And like, I think maybe that was like maybe when I was like year 10. And then finding out about the Foals, though, their album Antidote, it was just, yeah, it was a game changer.
So we gotta play a track by Foals, I guess.
Yeah, you have to. You gotta play Balloons. Song I didn't like on the album was Cassius, and even then I grew to like it.
That's why I'm gonna play Cassius. No,
I mean, be free. Like, that album honestly changed everything for me.
Wow, I love it. See, now we got such a good trajectory of your story, but sonically, your sonic story, we can see now where it landed in your own sound. I think it's super great.
Yeah,
I like this, going from something more, okay, we don't use the word serious, but let's use it for the sake of it, to something fun and light now coming up. You mentioned the urgency of that energy of Block Party. I think that's the fun and light. It had like energy behind it, but it was still fun and light.
Yeah, it had like, because I think they had smiles on their faces. I think that changed a lot, you know, like, I think we went from an era of just like bands before that were just like really straight-faced and like, then
just
went
have fun, guys. Just have fun.
Yeah, went into an era of like bands playing with smiley faces and just jumping around, and you know what I mean. That energy is important in order to inject into the world, like, for sure.
Well, one person who did the positivity into the world was our dear late Virgil Abloh.
Oh, yes.
And talking about burning CDs, he obviously did a beautiful CD
for you.
I hope there's still one left for me.
Oh my god, for sure. I'm sure there is one. Honestly.
And we obviously in his room where he spent a lot of time in. Going through books and magazines, he had idea books. Yeah, tell me how that all came about. What was like working with him, and what song defines your time with him, or maybe you had a moment with him?
All right, that's a lot in one, but we'll get to all of it. But just remember the other 2 points. So like, all
right,
the first one, like, how did I meet? I mean, I met Virgil for a friend of mine, like really close friend of mine called Jordan Vickers. He works for Stussy actually, and They knew each other, and I was making my first project, Bad Kid. Then I think Jordan just like, we probably just like saw, because at that time it was almost like Jordan was almost like my creative director in a sense. You know, I didn't have management or anything at that time, so it was just like me and him doing all of it. And so I think he just probably saw it by proxy of just like seeing Jordan post me all the time. And then just became interested in it. And then like, I think him and Jordan, they started talking about it, and then I got his email. Or like, maybe, I don't know how it initially happened, but maybe it was a DM or something like that. I'm not sure how it happened originally, but I do remember him being like the first person I sent the finished version of Bad Kid, which was like my first like project, my baby, like. And yes, I sent that to him, and he just loved it, like, out the gate. He understood it. I always had like this feeling that he understood exactly what I was doing, even before I'd even met him. It was almost like, oh, if I can get my music to this guy, like, I know that he's gonna get it. Like, I can just tell from afar that he's gonna understand it. And he did straight away. And then like, I think within a month, I was probably walking his first Louis Vuitton show. Yeah, so I didn't really know him too much before like the Louis Vuitton wave. Yeah, I think I met him just before that. Actually, there was a little period of time where like he had come to London, and we went to a Martin Rowe show together in Kentish Town. And like, I'm from like that area, like that's my area. So he met us at like Kentish Town West Station, and I was with like 10 of my friends, and he was just on his own. And then we walked to the Martin Rowe show, because she had done it in the middle of a street in Kentish Town. And yeah, we just watched the show together. a front row, like literally it's just like, I mean, one of my friends, like there's like a photo of like one of my friends is like still eating Nando's on, like has the
shout
Nando's,
out to Nando's.
Yeah, like he's eating a Nando's bag, and like it was just like we really just like unformaled his whole entrance and his whole vibe, but he just was like loved it and was with it. And then yeah, and then fast forward, I don't know what the time was, but I don't think it was very short between like first interaction, maybe like February, you know what I'm saying, March of that year, and then like his show was in June. So it was like, and my project came out in May, so it was like just quite like boom 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 boom, and like we just kept on having like either like run-ins or like and talking about my record and stuff like that. And then yeah, him invited me to come and walk, and then like that just opened, that just like confirmed that, oh, he probably like fucks with me. Yeah, legend.
What track should we play? What's your Virgil track?
Wait, you had a middle one though. What was the middle
thing? I did. How you guys met, what it was like being with him, I guess.
Oh yeah, like while he was here. Yeah, so then like,
but maybe there was like a precious moment that where you really like, this is it.
I think the one really fun, like not the one, because I have so many fond memories, just like the process of getting to work with him on an actual product was probably like my fondest memory, like which being the CD. We worked on stuff, we know, like either whether it be advice or like me walking his shows. I walked two of his shows, I did a whole campaign for them. There was other bits and bobs that we probably did that I'm even forgetting, but that was like a product. And yeah, obviously like it was a weird situation.
Something
because
tangible that you can put
and
in your pocket.
He's a product man.
Yes.
Like he's the, yes, to me, he's the product, yes, man. It's basically like making a product with like Duchamp or like sounds, that's what it felt like, making product with like just the best in class. Yeah. So that's what it felt like. It literally felt like,
I love that, best in class.
Yeah, just making something with like the person that I know for a fact is like the best at doing it. So so yeah, that was just an interesting thing. Like I'm even trying to think of like more like, cause it's like making a film with like Kubrick, like you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
It's like it's lit, or like making a song with Kanye West, like you know what I'm saying, like making a product with Virgil Abloh, like it's the same kind of vibe for me, like
amazing,
that same like level of excellence. So knowing like I don't use WhatsApp. I, to be honest, like the only reason I ever got WhatsApp was for two reasons.
For
one,
Virgil
was to communicate
yeah,
with V, because yeah, he loved WhatsApp, yeah, and my label, like the people, they use WhatsApp, yeah, as well. But I'm not a WhatsApp guy. I don't use WhatsApp. And the only reason why I still have it is because to store those conversations.
Yes.
When we were like going through it, like iterations of the CD and little changes. And
I'd love to see that.
It's like all of the stuff. Oh my God, I'll show you. And yeah, like all of that, and just knowing that like that's just so tangible for me. And just like,
yes,
it's just like, that's the coolest shit. So I'd say that. But overall, like, man, so many cool moments. Like I said, shooting Louis Vuitton campaigns and just being able, like I didn't realize at the time, and me and my friends talk about it, like that also had privileges of being around him, the privileges that we like had, you know. I always talk about like, so like one of my friends is starting a brand, he's doing it and it's great, but it can be better, and he was really close to Virgil too, and I'm always like, bro, you're from the uni of Virgil, you know what I mean. I always talk about it as like being from the school of Virgil.
Yes.
You know, so like, and like, so yeah, like I being from the University of Virgil is like, there's so many things that like
I love that you I was
around and I was privy to, like that he showed me. Yeah, so many things. But I'm in a stage right now where I'm going back and watching so many of his talks and stuff. Like
I did the deep dive as well. I think, I mean, you know, he was one of my contemporaries, but it's different when there's hindsight to it, when there's space to it, like a distant, because then re-watching or re-listening to some of these things, and we're talking like 5 more years ago, and kind of how far ahead he was, and also certain things that he said that just made so much sense. Maybe not in the moment. Maybe in the moment you were just so distracted with everything else. But now looking back, it's just like, oh my God, yeah, he was right, you know, or he is right.
Absolutely, like this idea of tourist versus purist.
Yes.
I think the world of art is big and small at the same time. And what resonates between sort of my view on the world and Christo's body of work is what I call the tourist and the purist, my operating terms within my art studio. What's the demographic that is the deciding factor of culture? The purist is steeped in knowledge and the history and the nuance of said practice, call it art or fashion or music. The tourist is the public that's bright-eyed and interested, and scale is much bigger than the purist, but they meet in the middle. And I think Christo's work embodies exactly that. And I strive to do that in the different mediums within my career.
I swear to you, in that moment when he was doing it, I've always understood that notion. I think it's why I'm good at making music. But I never, when he was like presenting that theory, I didn't really connect to it. Like in the way he was presenting it. Recently, I'm like hooked on that, like that theory and that ideology of like Taurus versus Pyrrhus. It's like my whole shit now. So it's just funny how like sometimes you won't understand one thing and with time. Because I did understand, it was just the way he was presenting it, I didn't understand it, you know what I mean? Now I watch those same presentations and I completely understand, so maybe that just comes with maturity, but so proud to, like I said, self-proclaimed, like, graduate from the School of Virgil, like, I love that, yeah.
There you go, that's a title.
Yeah, oh my God, that's a good title. And then song?
Yeah.
I'd say, Mama, I'm So Sorry. I know Benji played it at his last show, in Miami, or one of the last shows. That song really just reminds me of the
Miami Vice, all my cocaine dreamers, you know. Miami Vice, we should spit this shit for y'all. Here we go. Youngin', don't make my sales rise. I shoot you out your chuckers. Push a hear the whispers of all you motherfuckers. Papa says stay free of them suckers. Minus the wicked jumper, street baller like the Rucker. Skip to my loo if you looking for a couple. Roosters in the duffel. Keep the hood screaming cock-a-doodle-doo, fuckers. Coke by the ton, rap niggas, I'm the one. With basic rhyme pattern, how the fuck you trying to chatter? Asic-ass rappers got them running for their life. I philosophize about Glocks and keys. Niggas call me Young Black Socrates.
And I was just did I was just in Virginia like doing a show like a couple weeks ago, and we were just in the car like just playing like obviously like so many like clip songs. And when I heard that, I was just like, no, this just sounds like V, like, because it's shiny, the mix is incredible, do you know what I'm saying? But it still has all this grit inside of the song and like all this like gangsterness. But like, I don't know why, like that song just has like an incredible mix. Like it just sounds so like clean, and I'd say that reminds me of him, yeah.
Mama, I'm so sorry, I'm so obnoxious. My only accomplice, my conscience.
Young and learn from me, let's not be at odds. We're more like than not, two peas of a pod. Same hustle, set my hustles, now flows. I once gave it away at 30 grams and oh. That accounts for all them days in the cold. Feels like kids in cake mix, can't wait to lick the bowl. But it's a bigger picture.
Shout out to Virgil.
Shout out V, man, for sure.
Well, we just briefly mentioned your new record. Does it have a title yet? Are we allowed to talk about it yet?
Halo. We allowed to talk about it heavy. I'm big on like putting my titles out way before my record come out, so... Yeah, the title was called Halo. I was like, proper didn't know when I would find the title for this, but then like, my titles always find me, so I never prang out. But yeah, next record's called Halo. Due to come out soon.
Do you have already a favorite track?
But it changes the whole time. Like, constantly, like, literally as of last night, I have a new favorite song on there, so.
So which one should we play?
I'll say a song that I know is definitely going to be out by that time, which is a song called Alive, that, I just shot the video too, actually. It just has such a great feeling. It's just got that energy thing we're talking about and that urgency thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
This song has an abundance.
I know the sunshine isn't promised, so I put it in my pocket. Winter turned me rotten, all these seasons I've forgotten. July told me a lie, can't be just crossed again. Your eyes wouldn't lie if you want them to. So what did I expect? You said it with your chest. Your eyes wouldn't cry if you want them to.
If to me it feels like some modern day like Rolling Stone shit, like, and I'm just like really big on just like reclaiming like the idea that people like me started what like was known to be like rock and roll.
Wanna free my mind, wanna be outside, wanna be alive, pray I wake up again. Wanna free my mind, wanna be outside, wanna be alive, pray I wake up again. Wanna free my mind, wanna be outside. Wanna be alive, pray I wake up again. Wanna free my mind, wanna be
Because there's always this stigma of just, you know, I'll always hear like, oh, you make white music or like, or stuff like that along
well,
those
it's
lines.
Black music, really.
And I'm always like, how ironic. You know,
it's Little Richard, guys. No, it ain't Elvis.
Yeah. And by the way, like, no shade to any of those people.
Yeah,
like,
of course not.
I never listened to them, but like, shout out Elvis and like, you know, the Beatles. I'm not a big Beatles fan, but like, appreciate it. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's funny because people always say to me, my producer friend, like, you guys should listen to Beatles. And I'm like, fuck the Beatles. Like, I never listened to the Beatles. I didn't grow up listening to the Beatles. It's not my thing, but I appreciate it. Like, do you know what I'm saying? But I can't force it. Do you know what I mean? But so it's just ironic people say stuff like that. So yeah, but this song Alive is that. And yeah, it just feels like I'm some real Black Beatles shit. Yeah, like
Black Beatles shit.
Yeah.
Like, there is a Black Beatles. I think we just missed each other in LA. I'd love to see you perform live. Are you going on tour with a new record by the end of the year? Or?
Hopefully.
You just play Coachella, right?
I just played Coachella, yeah. Amazing experience.
Yeah.
Really cool experience, yeah. Of course, the plan is to go on tour and play shows. I love playing shows, so I hate tour, though.
That's why I never became a full-on professional touring DJ, because the touring itself, the performing, of course, we love.
Mm-hmm.
But the touring is what's really the exhausting element. And I always ask, especially classical musicians, I ask them always, because they just travel just as much as like a DJ, yeah. Really. How does the traveling affect your sound? Let's say you're a violinist.
Yeah.
You know, like there's got to be an effect to it at some point.
Yeah.
Because it's nuances, especially with classical instruments. So how does it affect you? Well, the traveling and then the performing, like when you're back to back.
The traveling's horrible. Like, yeah. The traveling's horrible. I don't enjoy it at all. But I enjoy being on stage every single night.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And so, like, I'd sacrifice anything for that. So if that is, like, just, like, doing this, like, horrible slug around the world, I'll do it just for that those few moments on stage, you know what I mean? Like, happily, gladly. So I'm not, like, complaining,
yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean?
It would be easier to be in the Range Rover going from gig to gig.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, by the way, like, I don't think there's any glamorous way of touring.
No, of course not.
I don't think, you know, no. Even if you've got the RV, I'm nowhere near that level, but, like, it's, like, even if we had the RV with the da-da, when I had Justin Bieber's like motorhome, like I still think I'd hate it. But yeah, but I do love playing. I love playing. Like, I love being on stage. And so like night to night things change because I play with a band. So it's playing with a band leaves it open to like to change. Yeah, to change every single night. And nothing will ever sounds the same night to night. That keeps me fresh. And if I wasn't playing with a band, which I always have conversations with people about the potential about touring without a band and what that looks like. And I was just having a conversation with Little Sims about that actually, like recently, like maybe 2 weeks ago. And like, cause she just stopped playing with a band. And yeah, obviously she does a slightly different thing to me, but we're just talking about that. And she was kind of probing me on trying to like, not necessarily feel like I need it. And I was trying to explain to her that I do feel like I need it, but it's also just like a want thing too.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? But she had a point in terms of like, it's you. It's the band too, of course. I think she was more just trying to drum into me. She wasn't like trying to like minimize my band. I think what she was trying to do is just like drill into me the idea that like...
You're the nucleus.
Yeah, and that like I should be able to have the presence to do it. And if I was able to do that, what that feels like and what that would look like would be really powerful. And then we were just also talking about the cost.
We're also talking about the cost thing
because it's right, it's true. Like,
listen, I was on the other end of booking, so yeah. It does make a huge difference. Oh, not so much just on the
difference.
Booking fee, but also just the production, everything that goes with it, hotel, travel. No matter how much you want it, and even if there's a budget, it's always going to limit you at some point.
Well,
you know?
I try and find a good balance. Yeah. I try and find a balance between the two. I think anything really like meaningful to me and like and it feels substantial in a moment, I'm going with my band and I'll lose if I have to lose. Like for Coachella, for instance, like we didn't make any money on Coachella.
Yeah.
You know, I brought my whole band 2 weekends. We're not going home in between the weekends, are we?
Because you want to give the full show, the experience.
I have to.
Yes,
you know,
of course.
I have
it's
to.
Also like what a great promo
and
way.
It's also like I want to show what I've just done, what I do here. You know, it's like I want to export that. You know, like, yeah, I had to show off. Like, do you know what I'm saying? So
it's funny you mentioned that. I just had a conversation 10 minutes before, I don't know who, someone I was just speaking just before interview, and we were talking about, I booked Blondie years ago at the Boomer Room, but within our budget, it was also New Year's Eve, I didn't get the full band. Well, I still got David Harry and Chris Stein, but I got two tracks, basically. Oh. So I really, like, it went from the full thing to got smaller, and then you had two tracks. Yeah, that's the reality of it.
That's the reality of it. But it's like, but it doesn't have to be. No. I'm going to do everything I can in my power to make sure my band of it. Like, you know, I did a tour in America where big, like, the main cities I brought my band and the other ones I didn't. I did this last year, and it was like, I've seen footage from my tour, from those big shows, you know, and like, they knew I'd come without the band, and like, I would get comments, like, I could feel it in the room in certain places, like, specifically, like, I remember being in San Francisco and doing my show, and really feeling in the room, like that, like, they almost had this letdown thing. Now, that's a whole nother conversation, because it's like, where's that entitlement come from? But I do understand it to a certain extent. Of course, But it's a balance, like, you know what I'm saying? And we almost would try and find new ways to, like, excite ourselves, because, like I was saying before, with my band, I have the ability to change every single night. I'll play a song for 7 minutes if I want to. Like, this is what I do.
It makes it more interesting for you as well.
Whereas another way, it's like, it's quite monotonous. It's quite samey. So, like, we would try and do all kinds of shit. Like, I was touring with, like, one of my friends, Quaku. He was, like, my DJ. He'd be my DJ. But he's like a musician. So, like, when we would need to play, he'd play bass on some things, and some things we'd play like acoustic and stuff like that. But then, like, that still wasn't exciting me. So, like, you know, certain nights, like, I remember, like, I bought this, like, super rare, like, old school, like, archive Vetements dress for, like, I don't know, like, whoever I fall in love with. Like, and I was just like, I had it with me on tour, and I was just like, I'm just going to wear it.
Yes.
And I wore it. I can't remember where, but I wore like a dress on stage with a backpack. And I came out, and I remember being like, people feeling like, what, like a bit confused. It was a bit of a like cut moment, but it was also just like, I need to like feel something. Whether that's like, I'd stopped feeling on that tour a little bit, and I was just like, I need to re-energize myself. I need to do like some weird ass shit to like, to revitalize the vibes and make myself feel uncomfortable.
Jumping in the cold plunge, that's what it is.
Yes, yeah. I just wore a dress and went on.
I love it. What track defines when you're not touring London for you?
Straight Murder by Giggs and Dave.
You know? Free my niggas, I miss my niggas, it's killing me slow. She wants dinner and goals, but that's so long like Trinity Road. Sweet like cinnamon roll, skin tone, glittery gold. Bro, I've been lit from college, it's common knowledge, didn't you know? I like this Serrano, but if not, I fuck with Henny. No mixer, juice, I'm papoose, stuck with Remy. On the day of the party, man got deets like Uncle Temmy. Mice, talking heavy, I do my man like George and Lenny. My old thing doing a lonely threads, or fuck, you must be kidding. Last week came for dicking, it's a crazy world we live in. Girls say I'm a gigolo, no piccolo, get shaved like Krillin. My life a movie is thrilling, Tom Hardy, I play the villain.
You know what? I don't know if you know of an artist called Pot of Paper. He's a rapper from London. He just put out his debut album and got sent back to jail, like recalled like the day before.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, Free Pot of Paper. But he put a project out called A Real Back in Style like last week, 2 weeks ago. That's kind of just like the soundtrack to my like being back home in London. Yeah, Pot of Paper. Real Back in Style, Free Pot of Paper. But yeah, that's my soundtrack right now.
I grew up on 110s and A-Rexes. West 9 all year, but it ain't festive. Had a quid on the brick and just blame Brexit. We ain't bringing out hammers that we ain't tested. You can never be my wife, get your brain tested. We ain't family, ain't brothers, and we ain't brethren. I could have been a brick boy, but I just stayed pebbling. I gave Tony a pipe, it turned super gremlin. Me and Whispers on exercise brawling. I want your boy to back you after you, I put it all in him. You ain't never stood over a man after you sprawled him. And looked into his eyes and you can see spirit calling him. I ain't trying to smoke that, I'm trying to leave it curing. There's something bad, straps, I need my own emporium. Tour time, you know I got the drillers in the audience. East End shooters like I managed late in Orient.
What's your go-to falling in love or heartbreak song?
Oh, Until the End of Time by Justin Timberlake. And dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, to the end of... Love that song.
Singing, oh, 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 yeah. Oh, 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 oh,
and then come around by a foreign exchange. I don't know if you know foreign exchange. No. It's like, do you know Fonte from Little Brother?
Yes.
He like had this other like project called The Foreign Exchange, and it was him and this producer, and it's like all R&B. It's him singing, like he barely raps on it. And another song, actually, on a break, like, there's a song called Breaking Point by an artist called Leon Thomas that really had me in my feelings, like, earlier this year.
Slow dancing in this burning house. I don't wanna go nowhere. It's hard for me to live. When there's miles and miles of distance, feel your heart is drifting, but you're right there.
And there was this Labyrinth song as well that was on Euphoria that I swear is the last song that made me cry. And it's called I'm Tired. And yeah, by Labyrinth, I'm Tired. Like the words are just unbelievable. Like just, yeah, phenomenal songwriting.
Well, after the heartbreak, when you're feeling super sexy and you're out around town, what's the sexiest song?
Maybe like Persian Rugs by Party Next Door. I just love that song. But I love like so much Party, like, but I just say Persian Rugs by Party Next Door.
Persian Rugs, but she's from Nicaragua. Thought she was Persian love. Are we turning up or are we wasting time? Girl, don't waste my time. You know I'm partying. I don't just wanna chill with you.
Well, Baka, to wrap up our little chat, if your life would be a movie, what song would play in the end credits?
Depends, like, what kind of movie am I going to be leading? Because I'm thinking of it, like, as a real, like, comprehensive, like, Forrest Gump type film.
All right.
You know, like, yeah. Where, like, that's the kind of film I want to be made about me.
Not
like
a Netflix documentary.
Yeah, I mean, we might have one of those on, like, as, like, a side dish. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the side dish, but... Yeah. The main thing needs to, like, a real Forrest Gump feel.
Feature film, I like
yeah,
it.
And
yeah,
and I need that to end with something that feels really good. Oh my God, there's some other songs I didn't say though, like, for the sexy one, like, I want to say, like, Climax by Slum Village. I want to put that in there just because I'm a massive J Dilla fan, and if I don't say anything, J Dilla.
You ain't got to play hard to get. I know you like the art of sex. I'm putting down my plan like an architect. It's for you, we can all get wet. I got a lot of nerve talking this to you, right? I'm straight up, honey, this shit makes sense to you. Girl, you ain't got a front, don't be acting dumb. Hey, if you got the good, then I want some. I'm trying to get down, this ain't no lie, yeah. But I ain't never fucked with a menage, why? It's three like the stripes on the Adidas. Getting live like we at the Mardi Gras. We getting live like we at the Mardi Gras. Three is the magic number, ask my partner. I be serving that ass like a bartender. I'm only what when you ain't watching ya. Yeah. I'm only what when you ain't watching ya. Yeah.
Oh my God, another one that got me in my feels. You know what, and it actually had me in my feels really bad, was two songs by Adele on the first album. It was Crazy For You.
Found myself today singing out loud your name. You said I'm crazy. If I am, I'm crazy for you. Sometimes sitting in the dark, wishing you were here turns me crazy. But it's you who makes me lose my head. And every time I'm meant to be acting sensible, you drift into my head and turn me into a crumbling fool. Tell me to run an race. If you want me to stop, I'll freeze. And if you want me gonna leave, just hold me closer, baby. Make me crazy for you. Myself, but spin out, it should come over, send me spinning closer to you.
And first love.
This love has dried up and stayed behind. And if I stay, I'll be choke on words I'd always hide. Excuse me, first love, but we're through. I need to taste a kiss from
those two songs. Are like really like had me feeling some like really some type of way. And Dijon's last album too has a lot of that as well. But to finish off, there's a song by a friend of mine. It's not gonna be like some big fancy song. There's a song, he's a really famous producer actually, well known. Let me not say he's famous, really well known producer. Formerly known as Frank Dukes, but now he's known as Ging. And he has a song called Can You See Me? And I adore it to the point where it's like one of the songs that I kind of wish I wrote it myself. And if that was on the end credits, that would be cool, because like the first lyric is like, can you see me now?
Can you see me now? Am I just the ghost of who you had around? When you
I just love that, yeah. Can you see me now? From both sides of the spectrum, like from the people that knew me before, like, can you see me now? And the people that do know me right now, like, are you actually seeing me for real? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Can you see me? And then to the people in the future, like my future children and stuff, like, can you see me even from the future? Like, so yeah, that would be a good one.
Perfect way for the outro. Well, Bakal, thank you so much for being on air with us. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. You're really good at talking.
Likewise.
Yeah, I've been nattering today. Oh my God. I think I needed this. You know why? Because remember what I was saying earlier, like, I've had a hectic day mentally just because I'm turning in my album this week and it's like a lot going on and people have been fucking up. My A&R's in Tokyo, God knows why. His girlfriend's passport got stuck there. Like, so it's just been a hectic week. And so I think I needed a ramble, so thank you.
There you go. Thank you.
There you go. Cheers.
Thank you for tuning in this week. If you want to listen to the full playlist, visit areweonair.com or our Spotify channel. You can also find us on Instagram and on YouTube at areweonair. And a big thank you to my wonderful team at Studio Noi. I'm Armand Nafei, and I'll speak to you soon.